Why FU money is not for the touchy-feely. Can everyone make FU money? Hell no. In fact, it's for a very small percentage of the population. These are the people who think and act differently than everybody else. Not everyone is meant to be or even wants to make FU money. If it's not you, that's okay. Some people just don't have it in them. It doesn't make you a bad person. If that's you, don't beat yourself up. Be whatever you want to be. If you're satisfied with having just enough money to get by, buy only what you need to be moderately happy, or simply get enough to the next paycheck, that's fine with me. However, if you want to make your FU money, if you want to be financially free for the rest of your life, you must be committed. You can't just stick your toe in the water. It's a total commitment. None of this bullshit like saying 1 week, I'm gonna make my FU money, and then the next week, nah, this is too damn hard. You're either in or you're out. You have to keep the commitment day in and day out. Every single day until they put you 6 feet under. There's no testing the water in this deal. You have to make FU money the number one priority in your life to get there as quickly as humanly possible. Most people just don't have that kind of commitment. They're not inclined to be wealthy in the first place, and they don't have the wherewithal inside them to get there if they did. If you look around you, this is obvious. That's why 95% of the population is broke or living paycheck to paycheck, and sadly, it will always be that way. Nobody wants to see you succeed. They might tell you that they do, but don't believe them. It's just lip service. Your relatives might say so, or even your friends, but they're lying to your face. Do you honestly believe they want you to grow into a FU money millionaire while they're down in the gutter sucking paycheck? I don't think so. Think about it. When you told your friends and family that you were going to quit your job and start your own business, what did they say to you? Were they supportive? I doubt it. So don't believe a word of the crap that they tell you. People want to see you fail so they can have someone to blame and justify their own failures. Oh, look at John and Mary. They couldn't make it. Well, I told them they shouldn't have started their own business in the first place. If they had just listened to me, he would still have his good, secure job, blah, 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 blah. Bullshit. If you're going to make your FU money, you have to plow through mountains of crap from all sides. You will have to fight and push through a world of lies, unsupportive mindsets, struggles, and hardships to move closer to your goal every single day. You are going to have to fight for uninterrupted time so you can focus on your goals with laser-like intensity. In the process, guess what? You piss some people off. Friends will think you're dissing them. Family members will think you're a workaholic. They accuse you of misplacing your priorities, of being obsessed, money hungry, or just plain greedy. To add insult to injury, if you have any feelings of self-doubt, add those to the shit that others are feeding you, and it makes it tough as hell. Plus, to round it all off, the chance of you actually making it and living your dream is low. Now, how's that for motivation? So do you want it? Do you really want it? I hope so. If you're ready to do whatever the hell it takes, as long as it's moral, legal, and ethical, then keep listening. The world has an opinion, and it's usually worth exactly what it costs. Nothing. It's worthless. People are like crabs in a bucket. If you put a bunch of crabs in a bucket, you don't have to put a lid on the bucket to keep them from escaping. Because if a crab starts climbing up, the ones on the bottom will always pull the climbing ones down to the level. The world doesn't want you to win. The vast majority of the people will never make their FU money, nor will they ever try. They want you to be down in the gutter with them so they have somebody else whose shoulder they can cry on. Is your friend rich? Is your brother-in-law rich? When they give you advice, should you listen? Yes, go ahead. Be polite. Then you can toss the advice right out the window as soon as they walk out of the room. It never ceases to amaze me how people will suck up any information, take it to heart, and make decisions based on the hot air that comes out of other people's mouths. The sad part is that even when you pay for a service, you can't trust it. Have you ever gotten bad advice from an attorney? I know I have. Even if you take advice from a professional, you still have to determine if that advice is applicable to you. That includes taking advice from me, by the way. The final decision still falls on your shoulders. You have the final say. So be very careful to whom you listen to. If you want to be a F your money millionaire, you better learn from one. From the time that you were born until now, you have been conditioned to be broke. Virtually everyone you've come into contact with your entire life has been conditioned to be broke. Therefore, by surrounding yourselves with these people, you have been conditioned to be broke too. If you're like most people, unless you're born with a silver spoon in your mouth, the minute you're born, the first person that touched you after you were delivered was a nurse, and he or she was broke. And hell, in this day and age, the doctor was probably broke too. And then, unless your last name is Hilton or Trump, you were handed to your broke parents, who then put you into a great school taught by broke teachers. Then you went to high school and were taught by more broke teachers. Then you may have gone to college and you were taught by broke professors. Then you graduated and got a job working for broke managers. Also, you could then hang out with friends and relatives that are also broke. Now, can you see how you've been conditioned to be broke? Think about this. Take it one step further and ask yourself, how many rich people do I even know personally? Sure, you may be acquainted with a few, but do you really know them? Are you friends with them? Or better yet, are you involved in business with them, or do you enjoy a mentoring or mastermind relationship with them? But most people, if they do know someone who is wealthy, is some people they've played tennis or golf with, who attends their church, or whom they've worked for in some capacity. The wealthy person knows who they are and maybe even considers them as a friend. But that's where the relationship ends. Ask yourself, are the relationships I have with the wealthy people in my life going to positively impact my finances anytime soon? I'm not saying that you need to try to use wealthy people or see them as a means to an end. As we've seen already, you have been conditioned to be broke by broke people your whole life, due to no choice of your own. So to recondition yourself for wealth instead, you need more than wealthy friends. You need to cultivate relationships with wealthy friends and business associates that will positively impact your mind and therefore your future. Just the fact that you are listening to this audiobook means that you have to be a little on the weird side. Why? Because according to the American Booksellers Association, 80% of Americans did not buy or read a book this year. 70% of American adults have not been in a bookstore in the last 5 years. 58% of American adults never read a book after high school. As you can see, just by getting this far, you're in a minority. In fact, I've had people call me crazy, insane, and outrageous in my business career just because I've taken a few risks and endured a few failures. Yet even when I show them that I've made it through the challenges and I now have the money to back up my big mouth, people have the nerve to call me eccentric. It doesn't make any sense. Most people go through their lives dirt broke and working for somebody else until they die, and they call me eccentric. Why? Because I have the balls to step out on my own, apply what I've paid to learn, and as a result, achieving success? I am the crazy one? Are you fucking kidding me? If you want to follow in my footsteps, you'll have to get used to this kind of reaction from people. F your money is not for everyone. It's not normal. You don't do normal things to achieve wealth. In fact, if you do things normal, you'll be broke, just like every other normal person. F your money assignments. Who are the people you admire because they are successful at what they do? What qualities and skills do they have? How many of those qualities and skills do you have too? Which ones can you develop? chapter 12. If your life stinks, it's your own damn fault. A few months ago, I was on a call with a coaching client named Ron. And he said, Dan, I need some help. My business isn't doing well. My competitors are furious and all my customers are cheapskates and my vendors want to jack up their prices and the economy is really bad. What should I do? Come on, Ron. I said, you're bitching and moaning here. Dan, you don't understand. My business sucks. You know what, Ron? I have a solution for you. Let me help you out with that. Please, please help me. What's the answer? It's very simple. If your business sucks, it's because it's a business person. You suck. Dead silence. But then I interrupted. I said, listen, every business is a reflection of its owner. Let me ask you a question. Are there other businesses in your industry that are kicking your ass? Well, yes. Their business is booming, and yet they're essentially selling very similar products as you. Is that correct? Yeah, I guess that's true. If that's the case, it means there's something you don't know. So it's incompetence on your part until you realize you are the problem and you are the cause of your struggle. You can't fix it. Do you see where I'm coming from? I got it, Dan. You see, FU Money begins when you take full 100% responsibility for your life. Stop blaming the government, the politicians, lawyers. Okay, maybe we could blame the lawyers a little bit. Bad luck, your parents, your employees, the economy, and the weather, etc. The buck always stops with you. You see, most people paint themselves as victims of circumstances. Don't believe me? Just watch an episode of Jerry Springer. The entire fucking show is based on victims. How somebody did somebody wrong, had sex with somebody else, whatever. Then the hilarity ensues when all the drama, crying, fighting, and hitting each other kicks into full gear. Somebody else is always the cause of all the victim's problems. It's pathetic. If you want to get rich, you can't be a victim. Our society is full of victims. Like the guy who eats fast food every day for years and then sues the fast food restaurants for making him fat. Tell me this, who chose to get up every morning, every day, and drive to the restaurant? Who looked at the menu, placed an order, pulled out his wallet, and bought the damn food? Who chose to shovel the large fries, double cheeseburger, and a milkshake down his throat? Exactly, the guy, the customer, the victim. Entrepreneurs say to me all the time, Dan, I can't get good help these days. I always reply, well, maybe that's because you're a lousy leader. The problem is not that you can't find good people. The real problem is good people don't want to come and work for you. Why? Because you can't afford to pay the salaries that really good people deserve. Oh, but Dan, my business is not doing well. I can't afford to pay them that much money. Well, again, whose problem is that? That's because you're a lousy business owner. Your profit is low, your revenue is low, and now you can't afford to have a team. Heck, you don't even know how to build a team. If this is the case for you, then you have to take responsibility. I know that's a tough pill to swallow. I get it. I know. Because I've had to swallow it myself a few times. I even find myself being in the victim mode from time to time. When that happens, I stop and ask myself, am I acting like a victim? Or am I acting like an owner? And I find that when I take 100%, always 100% responsibility for my life, something magical happens. But there are three kinds of people. People who wait for things to happen, people who make things happen, and people who wonder what the fuck just happened. Have you ever watched the TV show Fear Factor? The whole show is based simply on watching what some people would or would not do for money. It's fascinating to watch the dangerous stunts people would do and the risk they would take. It's downright disturbing to see some of the gross stuff that they are willing to eat. Dead animals, creepy insects, you name it, just for the chance of winning a measly $10,000 or $20,000 or $50,000. Sure, Fear Factor is an extreme example, I get it. But it is important for you to be clear and to know upfront what you would and would not do for money. Because when you do, it's incredibly liberating. Now, let me clarify. I'm not talking about deciding whether or not you should do something illegal, immoral, or crazy to make money. That's not what I'm talking about at all. How bad do you want it? That's an important question that you should ask yourself about the price you would be willing to pay to make your F your money. Here are some examples. Say you've decided that you want to get rich in real estate. Great! Now ask yourself if you really know how to get rich in real estate. If not, how are you going to learn it? Are you willing to attend seminars, read books, or join a coaching program, etc., to learn how to make money in real estate? If you said yes, how much are you willing to spend for your education? $5,000, $10,000, $20,000, do you know? In other words, what are you willing to do and what are you not willing to do to make money? Say you want to make a fortune on the internet. Okay, here's the thing. I can say from experience that building a business from scratch online, even if you know what you're doing, and most people don't, takes money and time. In fact, the less money you have, the more time you have to invest in your internet venture. There's no way around it. So ask yourself, if you have a regular day job but don't have a lot of money, are you willing to spend your free time on evenings and weekends doing the free things online that would drive traffic to your site? How long are you willing to keep doing these things without turning a profit? A month? 6 months? A year? Or if you don't have a lot of time, but you do have some money to spend, how much money are you willing to spend to send paid traffic to your website? How much money are you willing to lose while you're learning how this game is played? Do you know? Figure out what you are willing to do and what you are not willing to do to make money. You must determine the price that you will have to pay to achieve success and then get busy paying that price. H.L. Hunt, Texas Oil Tycoon. Chapter 13. You can't have the glory if you don't have the guts. My good friend Peter Sage suffered from a major financial setback a few years ago. He decided to walk away from a big investment deal due to ethical reasons, and the decision had a significant impact on his net worth. He was a very successful entrepreneur, yet he found himself basically starting again from scratch. At the time, Peter was living in the UK, and he made a decision to move to Vancouver to begin a new chapter of his life. While he was hoping to move to Vancouver in about 2 or 3 months, he sat on the beach in Sydney and asked himself, "If I could wave a magic wand and sprinkle some fairy dust on my business and get back on my feet, what would I need to do?" Again, this goes back to knowing exactly what you want, gaining clarity in your vision. He wanted to buy his dream penthouse in Vancouver. It was a huge goal, especially for where he was at the time financially. Peter jumped on the internet at night just to look for a few pictures. He believes in having pictures of what you want on a goal map to remind him on a daily basis to get in touch with his inspiration. It motivates him. It helps him to focus. Through the search engines, he found the most gorgeous apartment he had ever seen. He said, "Wow, that's it." It was one of those love at first sight feelings. No questions, no further discussions. This was the one. It was amazing. It was exactly the place he had dreamed of living. It was the price he had written down. It was the one. There was just one problem. It cost $4 million. It was way out of his league, especially since he had just lost a lot of money from his investment deal. But he had a dream, and he was committed. He thought to himself, "You know, maybe if I string the seller and realtor along for 6 months, get a lawyer to put in an offer, I'll get close." Now, the penthouse was his focus. He became obsessed. No ifs, no maybes, no let me think about it. It was about midnight in the UK, and it was 4 p.m. Canadian time when he rang the number for the real estate agent. "Hi, this is Peter Sage. I was searching the internet and I stumbled across your listing. I'm sort of interested in this apartment. Now, he was trying to sign casual, of course. The agent replied, oh, you called at the perfect time. A sale just fell through 2 days ago. Peter believed it was meant to be. The apartment had his name on it. He just had to have it. Now, it turned out that he was in a contract race with quite a few interested buyers, and he needed to put down a 10% deposit in 24 hours. Again, way out of his league. Plus, because he wasn't a Canadian resident, he was required to get a non-status mortgage, which meant he had to come up with another 25% down on top of the 10% in a few months. If he didn't, under Canadian law, he would lose the 10%. It was a non-refundable deposit. So it was a total of 35% deposit with $400,000 to lose if he didn't cough up another $1 million in a few months. You want to talk about commitment? Now that's commitment. He made the decision to buy his dream apartment when he had no idea how the hell he was going to come up with the money. Now later, Peter told me he made a jump based on one simple principle of goal setting. If you set a goal now and you see a path of how you're going to achieve it, by definition, the goal is too small. I'll say that again. If you set a goal now and you see a path of how you're going to achieve it, by definition, the goal is too small. Where's the room for inspiration, creativity, and growth? None. Within 24 hours, Peter managed to refinance his house in UK. He maxed out all his credit cards. He borrowed some money here and there and everywhere, and he wired across the 10% and signed a non-refundable deposit. Now he had a much bigger mountain to climb. He had to come up with $1 million within a period of weeks. Otherwise, he would lose everything. How crazy was that? Peter burned all his ships. He had no way out. There was no ifs, no maybe, no I'll try. It was a do or die. Peter was going to make it happen no matter what. He was going to do whatever the hell it took. He had to find a way. That level of commitment is what creates results. Within weeks, he tied up acres of land with an option. He divided them up and sold them to multiple buyers, and he made more than enough profits to come up with the additional 25% down payment for his apartment. In fact, I was just at his place. It's spectacular. Absolutely breathtaking. Now, was it stupid? Was it risky? Was he nuts? Or was he simply committed and passionate about his dream? If Peter had been anything other than red hot, he would have lost his ass on the deal. Lukewarm would never have worked. That's guts. I respect and admire people who've got guts. I'm proud to have a friend like him. Are you willing to give up your security in exchange of financial freedom? What are you willing to sacrifice to make your FU money? I was in my local bookstore and bumped into one of my college buddies. He almost didn't recognize me, but I recognized him. He asked, well, how the hell have you been, man? You look good. I said, thank you. Well, so what have you been up to? I said, nothing much, just busy growing my business. We chatted briefly, and I found out that he was working in a local restaurant as a waiter. Now, I didn't tell him what I was up to because he would never understand, and frankly, I didn't feel like explaining it. I can still clearly remember that he was always into sports in college. He was on the basketball team and the stud that got all the girls, one of the coolest guys on campus. Everybody wanted to hang out with him. On the other hand, I was the geek who sat in the very back of the room, afraid to put up my hand and ask questions. I was the quiet one who was shy and didn't make eye contact with people when I talked to them. I would just go home and not participate in any after-class activities because of the language barrier. People didn't even remember my name. I was invisible. But while all of the cool guys were going to parties, chasing girls, getting drunk and having fun, I would lock myself in a room and read business books like a madman. I have started my copywriting career at the age of 19, so I was studying sales letters and writing copy for clients. They all thought I was the geek, the weirdo. You see, success takes discipline. So much that your friends might start calling you Yoda. There's a quote from the movie, I Think I Love My Wife. You can lose a lot of money chasing woman, but you will never lose woman chasing money. I chose to forego a little immediate recreation, reward, and pleasure for future security. Everything in life comes with an opportunity cost. When you choose to do one thing, you automatically choose not to do other things. You have to give up something to get something. The price for FU money is self-discipline and self-control. I knew where I was headed. I knew even back then what I wanted to do in life. If it meant I had to sacrifice a little fun, that's a price I gladly paid. And I'm damn glad that I figured it out as early as I did. You gotta do what you gotta do. I made some sacrifices early on, but looking back, I have no regrets. I'm damn glad that I decided early on to do what I did. When I think back all the nonsense that my college buddies were up to, and I compare it to the lifestyle that I have now, there's no fucking way I would trade for the world. Success doesn't happen by accident. I chose to be successful. I chose to be happy. I chose to make my FU money, and I chose to be fulfilled. I chose to give up a few fun times. And look at my life today. I've made my FU money. I have enough to live comfortably for the rest of my life. I can do what I want when I want with no worries. I don't need a job. I can live life entirely on my own terms. I did what was hard. I did what other people were not willing to do. I gladly paid the price that other people were not willing to pay. I endure the pain, hassle, and pressure that nobody else was willing to bear. That's why I now have the easy life that most people can only dream of. So how bad do you want it? If you're not where you want to be financially today, let me ask you this, just how bad do you want it? What price are you willing to pay to get what you want? You deserve nothing. You must earn everything. If you really want to make your FU money, you must decide what you're going to do today that will move you closer to your goal, and then get busy doing it. Not tomorrow, today. Yes, there's a price to pay to get there, and it will require some initial work, plus a willingness to learn and grow on your part. But once you arrive, you will gladly say, you know what, I will do it all over again. Chapter 14. Why conventional wisdom is almost always wrong. Conventional wisdom is the scripture of mediocrity. Mediocre beliefs create mediocre results. Conventional wisdom is for the masses. Are the masses broke or rich? Exactly. Cut up your credit cards, live below your means, and invest in a long-term, well-diversified mutual fund. High expectations can lead to high levels of disappointment. You can't have your cake and eat it too. A good job is the way to become rich. You better save your pennies for the rainy day. To get rich, you have to be a crook, a liar, a thief, or get lucky. Fuck that. I still remember my mom saying to me when I was a little kid, clean your plate, Dan. There are children starving in China. I would ask, but mom, how is cleaning my plate gonna help the starving children in China? I never got an answer. She would say stuff like, close the fridge. You're letting the air out. Money doesn't grow on trees. And when I was young, all I got was a pair of socks for my birthday, and I was happy to get them. Did you hear this kind of stuff growing up? All of us got this kind of scarcity thinking pounded into us. Why? Because our parents got it pounded into them by their parents. Here's another good one. If God wanted us to have money, he would have given it to us. Now about that, I say the Lord helps those who help themselves. It reminds me of the story from the movie, The Pursuit of Happiness, with Will Smith. There was a man who was drowning. And a boat came, and the man on the boat said, do you need help? And the man said, God will save me. Then another boat came and tried to help him, and he said, God will save me. Then he drowned and went to heaven. Then the man asked God, God, why didn't you save me? And God said, I sent you two boats, you dummy. So do you have a plan or do you expect the Lord to provide? Here's a series of quotes that reinforces the idea that conventional wisdom is almost always wrong. We don't like this sound, and guitar music is on the way out. Decca recording, Rejecting the Beatles, 1962. This telephone has too many shortcomings to be seriously considered as a means of communication. Western Union Internal Memo, 1876. There's no reason anyone would want a computer in their home. Ken Olson, President, Chairman, and Founder of Digital Equipment Corporation, 1977. The concept is interesting and well-formed, but in order to earn better than a C, the idea must be visible. A Yale University management professor, in response to Fred Smith's paper proposing reliable overnight delivery service, Smith went on to found Federal Express. Everything that can be invented has been invented. Charles H. Duer, Commissioner, U.S. Office of Patents, 1899. If I had thought about it, I wouldn't have done the experiment. The literature was full of examples that said, you can't do this. Spencer Silver on the work that led to the unique adhesives for 3M post-it notes. All of our lives, we're told by our peers that our goals are not realistic. Our dreams are too far-fetched. Our expectations are too high. We're told, you have to remember who you are and where you came from. What? Who the hell gives a shit where I came from? All I need to know is where I'm going. They preach to us that those things are for other people. We certainly can't expect that for ourselves. Who are we kidding? Who do we think we are? It reminds me of another story. A young newlywed was preparing a ham for Christmas dinner. She carefully cut off the end of the ham before placing it in the pan for roasting. Her husband asked her, why did you cut off the end of the ham? And she replied, I really didn't know. My mother always did, so I thought you were supposed to. Later, when talking to her mother, she asked why she cut off the end of the ham before roasting it. And her mother replied, I really don't know, but that's the way that my mom always did it. A few weeks later, while visiting her grandmother, the young woman asked, Grandma, why is it that you cut off the end of a ham before you roast it? Her grandmother replied, Well, dear, it will never fit into my roasting pan. You see, all of their lives, people do what they are familiar with. They think that since it's conventional wisdom. Oh, well, that's the way we've been doing it for years. Although it's as plain as the nose on their face that it doesn't work. Yet you're supposed to keep doing it that way instead of thinking for yourself. You see, all super successful people, wealthy people, go against conventional wisdom. Like Ted Turner, Lee Iacocca, Henry Ford, Michael Dell, Thomas Edison, Bill Gates, Steve Jobs, and Fred Smith. Probably any super successful people that you know all subscribed to doing what others felt was wrong. Colonel Sanders was 65 years old when he decided to sell fried chicken in a cardboard box. He founded KFC. Richard Branson has spent his entire career having people tell him he was doing things the wrong way. He broke every bit of conventional business wisdom there is, and he's a fucking billionaire, for God's sakes. All my life I've had people tell me, Dan, you can't do that. But I did it anyway, and I'm glad I did because I wouldn't be where I'm today if I would listen. Now here is a list of things that people told me that I couldn't do, but I did anyway. You can't immigrate to a foreign country where you don't speak the language. You can't go to college. You can't drop out of college and still be a success. You can't start your own business. You don't have a business degree. You can't live an outrageous life and ever amount to anything. You can't become a professional copywriter. You flunked English when you were in high school. You can't become one of the highest paid copywriters in 2 years. You can't charge $1,000 an hour for consulting. You can't fire your clients. You can't be a public speaker. It's your number one fear. You can't write a sales letter that generates $1 million in sales. You can't write another sales letter that generates $2 million in sales. You can't get a $500 million man to be your mentor. You can't get a billionaire to be your mentor. You can't make money on the internet. You can't publish a book. You can't become a best-selling author. You can't lose $1 million and come back. You can't be the number one expert in your field. You can't invest in real estate. You can't just work 4 days a week. You can't be a millionaire doing what you love. You can't be a multimillionaire and live life entirely on your own terms. You can't have it all. There are probably a lot more. I just came up with this list on top of my head. Bottom line, I hate conventional wisdom. So next time when someone says to you, "You can't do that," you had better reply, "Yeah, watch me." Chapter 15. The most important thing you can do today to start yourself on a path to FU money. Contrary to conventional wisdom, again, self-love is very good. It's healthy. Think about it. If you don't love yourself, how can you expect anyone else to love you? You can't. Let me ask you a question. Think about the successful people that you admire. Just pick any one person or group of successful people that you want to model and be where they are financially. Ask yourself, do they have high self-esteem or low self-esteem? They have high self-esteem, without exception. I have never met a super successful person with low self-esteem. Why? Because self-esteem is the foundation of all success. I know this is controversial, politically incorrect thing to say, but it's the truth. It's a very important lesson I learned from a billionaire. You need to develop a sense of superiority. In order to make your FU money, you must believe that you actually deserve all the success, wealth, and power that you seek. Now, it's not about being egotistical. It's about having certainty and confidence. In fact, it's impossible to make your FU money without it. You see, most people never make their FU money because of low self-esteem. They are unsure about themselves, and it shows. They second-guess themselves and never get started as a result. Here's a funny thing about all of this. It's okay to be unsure about what you're doing, but it's the kiss of death not to be confident in yourself. If you aren't confident in yourself, you'll never do anything in the first place. People who wait to be totally sure about what they're doing rarely ever get started. I'll prove it. Just go to a party and bring up the fact that you own your own business, or you're thinking about starting one. Watch what happens. You'll have tons of people listening who will chime in and say something like, "You know, I wish I could do that. I've always thought of I should break away and do my own thing." Then they'll usually go into detail about some idea they've always had, but never had the balls to pursue. Bottom line, the vast majority of these people will never do anything other than work for someone else. And yet, they'll always bring up the same old bullshit line about starting their own business when someone brings it up. The most successful entrepreneurs I know got that way because they had enough confidence in themselves to know that even if they didn't know exactly what they were doing when they started, they would figure things out as they went along. That's the difference. It's all about self-confidence. Successful people are fully aware that they will encounter problems along the way. It's their self-confidence that allows them to say, "Hey, you know what? That's okay. I'll be able to handle the problems as they come." Your self-esteem is low because you haven't had any serious success in your life to make it high. Do you know the best thing to make low self-esteem disappear? It's called cash. Lots of it. Warm and fuzzy motivational gurus tell you that if you feel good about yourself, you'll make a lot of money. I say if you make a lot of money, you'll feel pretty damn good about yourself. As you make more money, the higher your self-esteem will become. Before you know it, you'll become more powerful and decisive. And success breeds success. You look in the mirror and you love the new you. You admire yourself. I love myself. Now, if that sounds like I have a big ego, you're damn right I do. It comes from the control that I have over my life. It comes from my work ethic. It comes from knowing that I've done more preparation than the other guys. To have confidence is to feel capable, sure of your abilities. Lack of confidence is fear that you lack the ability to do something. It's very simple. I've read over 1,000 books when most people don't even read one book a year. I take risks and do things that most people are not willing to do. That's what gives me the confidence. And that's what gives me a sense of superiority. And there's not a damn thing wrong with it. I'm the only child in my family. I came to North America when I couldn't speak a word of English. I felt like an outsider. I learned how to rely on myself. Am I self-centered? You bet I am, because I had to be. My parents are divorced, and I've learned fast that nobody is going to come and rescue me. No one else is going to make me successful. It's all about me. I want to make myself happy, not anybody else. I decide things for myself and willing to take all the criticism, all the blame, but also all the rewards. My success is not dependent on anyone or anything except me. That's exactly why I place a high value on myself, even if it means sometimes giving the appearance of arrogance to others. It's also why I don't care what other people think. I was giving a seminar and a guy asked me, "Well, Danny, it seems like you're so full of yourself. Do you think you're the center of the universe?" I respond, "Yes, I do think I'm the center of the universe. I'm the center of my universe, at the very least. Everything evolves around me, and I like it that way." Now, this man was being a smartass, of course, and certainly wasn't asking for my advice. In a way, my response was the best advice I could have given him. Why? Because my sense of superiority comes from confidence. And confidence comes from competence. If you know you can do something well, you're confident about it. It comes from, and here's the key, knowing that I have the ability to make things happen. If this guy had taken his head out of his ass just for a moment, he would have realized. If more people had this type of confidence, the world would be a better place. Think about it. The world will never know how many undiscovered geniuses there are because of their lack of self-confidence. They will never reach their true potential. Who knows? There's probably some person out there who has the ability to cure cancer. But if he doesn't have the self-confidence to step up the plate, the world will never benefit from that knowledge. Millions of people may continue to die needlessly because this person doesn't want to be so arrogant as to say to the world, "I can develop a cure for cancer and take the steps necessary, regardless the cost or the potential of numerous failed attempts." Instead, he will sit in some office cubicle somewhere, wasting away, drawing a comfortable paycheck for the rest of his life. He would go to his grave without making the impact on the world that he could have if only he had the guts. Bill Gates dropped out of Harvard because he saw the tremendous opportunity brewing in the software market. At the time, people thought he was nuts. Dropped out of one of the most prestigious colleges in the world to pursue something unproven? Are you insane? And yet, because Bill Gates had the certainty and the confidence that he was doing the right thing. and the world is a better place because of it. If he had not taken action, if he had taken the safe route and just chucked the idea and finished his degree at Harvard, Microsoft might have never have came into existence. And who knows, maybe to this day, there would not be personal computers in our homes. Maybe there would be no internet. Now, without the internet and the personal computer, I wouldn't have made my FU money and been able to live such a luxury lifestyle. So thank you, Bill Gates. I never apologize for being confident. It's because of my confidence that I'm able to create this program for you so you can benefit from listening to it. You get to benefit from my so-called arrogance. I would even go so far to say that people who do not reach their true potential are being selfish. They're not giving the world what they could. None of the rest of us can benefit from what they could have contributed. Maybe it's a cure for a disease. Maybe it's a new technology. Maybe it's a new book. Maybe it's a new song. Maybe it's a new invention. Maybe it's a new idea. If this is your attitude, not only are you ripping yourself off, you're ripping your family off from the income you could have earned and the lifestyle you could have provided them. You're ripping the world off if you don't go out there, market to people, and let them know what you have to offer. Think of the people that you can help. Think of the lives you can change. Think about your family. You owe it to yourself and to others to reach your true potential in this life. Early in my career, I wasn't as decisive and I wasn't as confident. I developed both over time by having successes. If I had waited around to grow my confidence, I never would have started. Do you understand? So I had to kind of fake it until you make it, trusting that my self-confidence would grow in the process. Money and accomplishment will give you confidence because in your mind, you will now have a track record. You will begin to believe that you can make it happen again and again. FU Money Assignments. Most people don't keep a very good record of accomplishments. Here's what I want you to do. Take inventory of your past accomplishments and recognize that they are important and real. I want you to write down and think back to all the things you have succeeded at. Once you have done that, I want you to go to step number 2. Now leverage your past accomplishments for present day success. If you ever feel you lack confidence, say to yourself, damn, I have done blank before. I can certainly do whatever you're focusing on. Today, I can do this. Chapter 16. You can make money or excuses, not both. I have met tens of thousands of people in my business career. I've heard all of the excuses about why they can't make the FU money. And I want to share them here with you. I want you to listen to this list and see how many of these phrases sound a little too familiar. If I didn't have a spouse or family, who? If I had enough pull, if I had money, if I had a better education, if I had good health, if I only had time, if times were better, if other people understood me, if conditions around me were only different, if I could live my life over again, if I didn't fear what they would say, if I had been given a chance, if I had a chance, if I could do what I really want, if I were younger, if I were only older, if nothing happened to stop me, if other people didn't have it in for me, if I had been born rich, if I could meet the right people, if I had the talent that some people have, if I dared to assert myself, if I could speak the language, if I only had embraced past opportunities, if people didn't get on my nerves, if I didn't have to keep house and look after the kids, if I could save some money, if my boss had only appreciated me, if I only had somebody to help me, if I live in a big city, if I live in a small city, if I were only free, if I weren't so fat, if I weren't so thin, if I weren't so bald, if I weren't so ugly, if I weren't so pretty, if I weren't so handsome, if I didn't have big breasts, if I didn't have small breasts, If I was better in debt, if I wasn't so good in debt, if I could just get a break, if I hadn't failed, if everybody didn't oppose me, if I had married to the right person, if my family weren't so extravagant, if luck were not against me, if I lived in a different neighborhood, if I had a business of my own, if my family understood me, if I could just get started, if I had the personality of some people, if my talents were known, if I could only get out of debt, if I only knew how, if I didn't have so many worries, if people weren't so dumb, now that's my problem. If I were sure of myself, now that's not my problem. If I hadn't been born under the wrong sign, if I hadn't lost my money, if I didn't have a past, if other people would only listen to me. As you can see, I have heard it all. Some of these excuses were my own at one time. I came to North America when I was a kid, and as I said, I couldn't speak a word of English. So I guess I could have used the excuse, I can't make it big because I can't speak the language, so what can I do? I mean, why even try to make it big in a foreign country when you don't even speak the damn language and the culture is completely different from yours? I had all the rights or excuses in the world to be a failure. Even today, I still speak with an accent. As you're listening to me, some of my friends say I still speak like Jackie Chan. Sure, I mean, I had a lot of excuses in my head why I couldn't be successful. My accent, my looks, my height, lack of communication skills, lack of academic intelligence, lack of context. I could go on and on. I had to fight all those personal inner battles. I had to overcome these negative beliefs, just like you. My objective here is not to give you some big psychobabble motivational talk. However, like it or not, the biggest reason most people don't make their F you money is psychology. It's what's going on in your head that's holding you back. I'll prove it to you. It's been my experience that I can take two people, give them the exact step-by-step instructions on how to start an F you money business with all the tips and strategies. One person will take the information and skyrocket to success. The other will take the same information and fail miserably. Now, why is that? When I first started mentoring other entrepreneurs, I thought it was my information. It turns out that it wasn't it at all. It was the difference in the psychological makeup. Bottom line, one person believed she could do it, so she did it. The other person did not believe that she could do it. Guess what? She didn't make it. So psychology is a huge part of making your FU money, like it or not. That's why I've spent a whole lot of time preparing you for the mindset in this program. If your mindset is right, if your head is screwed on straight, then everything else is a piece of cake. You can go out there and get the how-to all you want. It's all there. It's available to everybody. You can meet the people that you need to meet. You can develop the skills that you need to develop. That's the easy part. But if you don't have the right psychology, you will fail. Case closed. So today, I've turned all these so-called excuses and disadvantages I had into advantages. For example, I'm 5'8". I'm not tall. But I always tell people when I feel short, I stand on my wallet. Now, interesting what money does to your self-esteem, right? I used to fear public speaking worse than death because of my accent. But then I began to look at my accent as something that gives me a distinctive voice. Now I've turned my number one fear into a valuable financial skill. So what excuses do you have? What made-up stories do you have in your mind that are holding you back from making your FU money? Are they even real? Remember, you can make excuses or you can make money, but you can't do both. Face your excuses and see them for what they really are. Obstacles that you've made up in your mind, that's it. When you blow past them, you'll make your FU money that much faster. Do you know that some people are actually addicted to their struggles? Now you might be thinking, Dan, now I follow what you're saying so far, but this just sounds too crazy to be true. This doesn't make any sense. Think about it. When someone asks you how things are going, how often do you respond with something negative like, Well, oh man, it's been a tough day. So-and-so, problem happened, and blah, 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 cry. Be honest here. Now, why the hell do you say negative, whiny shit like that? It's like a knee-jerk response for most of us. Most people don't even realize they do it. It's like their brain is trained to think negative thoughts automatically. I'll tell you why this happens. It's because we get empathy. Oh, poor you, and boom, that second you get attention and approval instantly. It's hell a lot easier to get empathy than to actually fix the damn problem. I don't care how successful or unsuccessful you are, all of us want attention, approval, love, and affection, including me. When you were a baby and you cried, what happened? Mommy or daddy ran to you and showered you with love and affection. Do you see how this stuff is ingrained into our brains since childbirth? Some people spend so much fucking time feeling sorry for themselves. It's sickening. They don't want to take responsibility or actually do anything to change their circumstances. Instead, they win by losing. They win by not making mistakes, by complaining, by justifying, and they become addicted to their struggles. Some friends of mine always seem to experience ups and downs. They make a lot of money, and they lose it. And they make a lot of money again, and they lose it again. If they were to instead focus all the energy they have, feeling sorry for themselves, on changing what's wrong with them, their problems would eventually disappear, or at the very least, become less evident. Now, of course, this is easier said than done. I get it. It's easier for me to talk about this kind of stuff than to do it in real life. Even I constantly have to fight and struggle not to be addicted to this kind of stuff. Now, why waste so much time and energy thinking what's wrong with your life? I mean, let's face it, life is hard. Things don't always fall into place like you want them to. All of us get an unwelcome visit from Mr. Murphy from time to time. And even when things work out, something can come along and screw it all up again. Shit happens. Bottom line, you can continue down the self-pity path for the rest of your life, looking for sympathy and alienating all those who have any interest in working with you. You'll die a miserable human being who contributed nothing. Until you take responsibility, get your head screwed on straight, and understand the psychology of money, you'll never have a few money. The choice is always yours. So life ain't fair. Business ain't fair. People ain't fair. Get over it. Chapter 17. The power of setting dig. I believe in setting dig, D-I-G, daily income goal. Now, a lot of people have income goals. For instance, they want to make